The reading today is taken from Acts 12, 5-18, from the New International Version. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals," and Peter did so. "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me," the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was actually happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were hoping would happen." When this dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people were gathered and were praying. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed, she ran back without opening it and exclaimed, "Peter is at the door." "You're out of your mind," they told her. When she kept insisting that it was so, they said, "It must be his angel." But Peter kept on knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Peter motioned with his hand for them to be quiet and described how the Lord had brought him out of prison. "Tell James and the other brothers and sisters about this," he said, and then he left for another place. In the morning, there was no small commotion among the soldiers as to what had happened or had become of Peter. So ends the lesson.
I've got like a million ideas jumping through my mind at the moment, and I think I'll get to the right one, because this, I found this a really intriguing reading for a lot of reasons. When I first said it some months ago, it made enormous sense to me. Then when I came back to reread it in the last week or so, I thought, why did I choose that reading? There are so many other readings that join this sense of the Lord's Prayer with of heaven and earth being joined together. So I've had to, for myself, come back and struggle with the reading and get on my hands and knees and think, Lord, I chose it for a reason. It seemed to be really clear then. You must have a reason for it today because I decided not to change it. So what is the reason? So I've had to spend a bit of time coming to the reason, and I'll get to that. I don't want to deliver it too quickly. I think we might need a little moment just to get there. But I want to encourage you, because with the things of God, they just don't all happen quickly. Even something as simple as getting up and preaching or choosing a Bible reading has its own journey and rhythms as well. And sometimes you think, I'm not sure about this, but it's all I've got, and then you discover, like Beverly has, I think, with the person who took the time over a journey with Easter, weeks or months, and sometimes years later, that particular reading, that particular word comes to shore at exactly the right time when people are ready to hear it or receive it in a new and a different way. So I'm just going to pray, and then hopefully, I won't lose you, but we'll start to make a journey with the reading today. Lord God, I want to thank you that you have gathered us. This is a unique body this morning and has already been prayed. We think about the other parts of the body as well down at Lardner Park. We thank you, Lord, that we are multi-aged. We thank you, Lord, that we have different tongues. We thank you, Lord, that we have different cultures. We thank you, Lord, that we each represent a very interesting journey of people all around the planet, many of whom have left their homes, left their towns, their cities and their villages or their farms of origin, and have made a journey somewhere else. And Lord, we are the fruit of that. But more particularly, we are the fruit of the transmission of good news. And so we thank you, Lord, for the faithful who spoke to us, who encouraged us, who got alongside us, who called us, who reminded us. We are grateful for their witness. So, Lord, this morning I just pray that this reading would be refreshed to us, that powerful sense of the Lord's Prayer would wash over us again in such a way that lifts us up at this stage of the 21st century to not be lost, to not be confused, but to find ourselves strongly together, held together by the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I actually am quite a simple person, and some of you who know me well will understand the complete profound nature of that statement. There are a lot of things I don't get. There are a lot of things I misunderstand. My spelling is atrocious. My grammar is even worse. You know, there's a lot of things that take me a while to come to terms with. So when I say some of these simple things at the start, they might sound simple, but I think that they've taken me a long way, and hopefully they will take you a long way as well. I keep returning to the simple image, which I know is not so simple, but the simple image of Jesus, who is on the road, on the street, in the house, and walking, certainly in the ancient Near East, but I could picture Jesus walking the streets of Doncaster just as easily. Jesus who is from all of heaven. Jesus who is not concerned by what flag we wave in a parade, who is not concerned by what oath of allegiance we might speak in whatever country we come from, who is not concerned about the colour of our skin or the shape of our eyes or whether we're bald or have flowing hair. The concern of the Lord is that we understand the nature of heaven. And so when the disciples come to him and they say, "Can you teach us how to pray? Pray like this, our Father who art in heaven," that sweeping sense of the God who is above. Hallowed be your name. Last week we spent some time thinking about some of what hallowed means, to take the time to remember who the Lord actually is amongst all these billion suns and swirling galaxies and us sitting here casually in beautiful clothing, just adorned pieces of dust. And yet here we are, miracles of the Lord in all of this. How hallowed is the Lord's name, that the Lord is bigger than the size of the universe or the complexity of anything. The Lord is above all. And then Jesus begins to talk about the heaven and earth, on earth as it is in heaven. What does it mean for heaven and earth to be joined in such a way that there's no confusion? And I don't know what your life has been like, but most of my life is a lot of confusion. Why do people behave this way? Why do I behave this way? Why do I think others are so wrong and I'm so right? I mean, most of us have our own different ways of thinking about the world and thinking about ourselves. But Jesus begins to make it really clear. Now, the opinion of God is the opinion that really matters. And the way that heaven just touches and moves through all the different cultures of earth is the most significant understanding that we can have. Our cultures are not God, and our languages are not God, and our flags are not God, and our oaths are not God, and our national boundaries and borders and the way we've historically divided up the world into all of its little boundaries and little visa points where we've got to stop and say, this is who I am. That's not the way that heaven is at all. Heaven is not concerned by any of those things. Heaven is concerned about the nature of the human heart and the understanding of a human that they know that they are called to by a resurrected Lord to a glorified understanding of who they are and to treat others well. And I say that, and you'll hear me repeat this over and over again because it's my inner foundation. Every time the Lord is asked about his authority, and what authority do you say these things? On what authority do you heal? Jesus says it over again so often. You know, I only say what I hear my Father in heaven doing, and I only speak what I hear my Father in heaven doing, and I only do what I see my Father in heaven doing. So there's this incredible connection between heaven and earth that meet perfectly in Jesus. And so as Jesus walks, and I know this sounds like Christianity 101, but we forget it in an instant. Almost every new person we meet, we forget the basics of how Jesus walked and saw people as heaven and earth kissed each other. To not just look at a leper, but to take a leper's hand. And we may not see lepers around us, but I tell you what, there are a lot of lepers that's got nothing to do with leprosy. There are a lot of people who are thrown out, left behind, thought as too bad, too terrible, too lost, too whatever, too tattooed, you can think of all the different things that people can think of, and yet Jesus goes out of his way to take that hand and to lift that person up. Because he does it, you can't walk past one person without the understanding that heaven and earth kiss each other. And in that moment, there's a fresh opportunity for a person to be renewed, healed, transformed, to have their mind renewed, their understanding of who they are completely transformed. It sounds simple, but that's the challenge of probably every single day that we have. How will we show some measure of love to the people that are around us, and including ourselves when we see ourselves in the mirror, because often we're our own harshest critic as well. But Jesus walks all the time, walking out that Lord's Prayer. What does it mean for heaven to touch earth? What does it mean for earth to be changed? What does it mean for a human heart to be renewed, to be restored, to be elevated and lifted? And that's the challenge for all of us. So when I come to the reading today, there are a lot of things around it that really got my attention, because I always like taking a reading and then going back. So the last time we meet Peter, he's got a lot of explaining to do, because he had a vision when he's sitting up on a tanner's roof about a tablecloth being lowered down with all kinds of food that he knows as an Orthodox Jew he should not eat. And it's lowered down a number of times, and he's told, you know, there are people coming to you and you better learn this lesson really well. Whatever I make clean, don't you call unclean. That's the simple message. So he's doing that. Cornelius, who is an uncircumcised Gentile man who has no belonging at all with the people, the holy people of Israel, but he's sitting in his house and the Lord is talking to him, and he's had a vision, he's had a dream of a man called Peter on a tanner's roof at some distance that he needs to meet. So he sends his servants off to go and bring that man, Peter, back. So what we find in this earlier section with Peter is the ability of the Lord to actually bring people together for new beginnings, for purposes that are fresh. So this meeting with Cornelius is really powerful. Peter comes to Cornelius' house, he declares the word. Cornelius says, there's no reason why I shouldn't get baptized, is there? Peter can't think of one. And all the household come to a point where they understand that God is doing something fresh and new, and the household is baptized. There's a new wave of the kingdom of heaven kissing earth that has met Cornelius' household. When the news goes out about what's happened, there are people back home in Jerusalem thinking, oh my goodness, this is terrible. What's he done? The man has lost his mind. How could he do this? How can you be in a Gentile's house? How can you be eating food that's unclean in the house of someone else who's got nothing to do with us? How can this possibly be? So he's called back to Jerusalem. We've got some questions for you. But he speaks so powerfully, people understand that this is the work of God, and not just Peter doing something because he thinks it's a nice idea. It's a transforming moment for the nature of the church to understand that the Holy Spirit is moving out to all kinds of different cultures, through all kinds of different people, and to learn the lesson of the tanner's roof. Don't call anything unclean that I'm calling clean. And I tell you what, the 21st century is still torn apart by people who have not understood or refuse to accept that message. And so they overlook what God is calling them to do and go back to either a tradition that they hold or some particular fragment of scripture they might sort of cling to, whereas the Lord is actually doing something fresh and new all the time because those arms are stretched out every single day so that not one person would perish. And anyone who is in that moment of decision and choice can actually walk forward, put up their hand, fall on the floor, whatever it is, to know that the Lord has received them. And then for the body of Christ to not miss one good thing that God is doing and to celebrate it, rather than thinking of the 600 questions about why that was wrong. Does that? I don't know whether that makes sense to you. So I come back to a mantra all the time for me, for my own decisions about a million things, which are often screwed up. I have a long confession. That's allowed in the Christian life, and hopefully you've got a long confession too, because last time I checked, I'm not perfect, probably you aren't either, and most of us say the wrong thing at the wrong time and think the wrong things at the wrong time, and it's a good thing to talk to the Lord and just say, more of you please, I need to lean in further because I think I've made a few other, you know, incredible mistakes today, can you pick me up? And I haven't heard the Lord say yet, no, I won't do that. The Lord continually lifts and refocuses the way that we see the world. So when I'm asked by the world all around me, swirling around, to make decisions about all sorts of people that I've never met, I come back to a simple thing all the time. Does this opinion that I'm asked to consider look anything like an opinion that would be true in heaven? Ooh, that clarifies a lot of things. A lot of people ask me to have opinions about things that I know will have no place in heaven. Not at all. So why should they be important now? If I'm really going to walk the prayer on earth as it is in heaven, isn't it better to say, I'll just continue to try and choose, as hard as it is, Holy Spirit, speak to me, because I don't know. What does heaven look like enough? So I don't make decisions that don't fit. And I don't believe things that shouldn't be in heaven and won't be in heaven. What would it look like to be that kind of a person who puts the understanding, the nature, the clarity, the love, the forgiveness, the transformation of heaven above all those crazy divisions that the earth is calling out all the time to sign up to? Who's in? Who's out? Who's right? Who's wrong? Who's the best? When Jesus says, pray for your enemies, be hopeful, keep walking the prayer, the Lord's prayer, keep being a person of confession, but for heaven's sake, keep living up and don't live down. Keep listening for what is the Lord saying to me? What is the Lord revealing for my actions and for my words and for what I can do? Because it begins all the time to transform and to change the world. So the reading today and what I love about it and what it took me a while to come back to when I did seriously think about getting rid of it and finding something I thought maybe I can work with this better, the Lord said, what is the most important thing in this reading, John? Well, I've already said a bit about Peter. And I could go on talking a lot more about Peter. And Herod Agrippa is a fascinating figure in history. He's actually the last king of Judah. He spends a lot of time in Rome. He's been a friend of Caligula. He's got a lot of very powerful friends. His last days on earth, he speaks really well. In fact, he speaks so well that people say, ooh, he sounds like a god and he sounds like a really wise person. And then he drops down dead. Scripture says full of worms. Others think he might have been poisoned. He slaughtered a lot of people. He was ready to just drag Christians out everywhere. And his life has ended. And the reflection is because he actually gave no glory to God. Everything in the end was about him. So he's off the scene. So this reading picks up, you know, there's issues of power in the world all the time. And powerful empires and powerful people are making decisions about your life and my life and the lives of unseen lives in all sorts of places. But the most powerful opinion in the end is God's. So what's the most important part of the reading? You. You are. Because when this little church of these new, fresh believers hear that Peter is in prison, what do they do? Does anybody remember what they do? It's not a test, it's okay. What do you imagine they might have done? They prayed. Again, this sounds so simple. It's like Christianity 101. But I tell you what, in my life of ministry and journey, I've been amazed at the amount of times it's taken me a while to get to prayer. When I've thought about every other thing and every other smart idea under the universe, but hadn't got to prayer first. And the amount of people I've spent time with who've got into all kinds of interesting situations of life, and you say, did you pray about this? It's like, oh, I hadn't even thought of that idea. You know, it is the fundamental. If you want to hear from God, if you want to have some idea of what heaven's doing, for goodness sake, you've got to hit your knees. And that's what the faithful people do for Peter. They hit their knees and they're praying and they're praying and they're praying because they know Herod is such a mad, power-fueled person that he will string you up. He will slaughter you. He will hold you up in a public trial. He will ridicule you in the town square. He will organise for someone to hang you, to cut you, to injure you in any way. And the crowds will go wild and they will love it. And so they are on the floor. They are praying, 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 praying. God, God, we need you. We need you. We are done. We are done. Save Peter. And that's their attitude. That's their posture of prayer. And without knowing, Peter is in prison. He's got a wagon load of guards. He's not going anywhere. He's got two soldiers sleeping beside him. And then during the night, the scripture sort of says he's pushed. I kind of picture it's like when you're trying to wake someone. This is going to startle Chris for a moment. So the angel of the Lord comes to Peter and wakes him up. And Peter is so, doesn't know what's going on because he wasn't expecting this. And he thinks, I'm having some kind of crazy dream, but I'll just go with it. I'll walk out the door and the angel's taking me down the street and I'll just keep walking down the street and midway down Doncaster Road, it's like, oh, I'm not having a dream at all, am I really? Oh my goodness, the rain's really getting to me now. So he goes around to where his Christian friends are and he knocks on the door and as scripture says, one of the girls from the house comes and she goes back and says, oh, it's Peter, because she is so overwhelmed. I think she doesn't even say, come in. She's shocked. And so she goes back, hey, Peter's here. And the church are like, you have lost it. They think she's insane. How you've lost your mind. How could Peter possibly be here? But Peter is there. So what the Lord reminded me of in this reading is the power of the church that prays. The power of the church that doesn't just think about, oh, Herod is so terrible and we're going to go on a long protest or we're going to do this, that and the other and let's write a strong word of, a strong petition to Rome. No, they hit the floor, they get together, they just pour out their prayer. And I want to really sow that in with you because you can do a lot in life, you can spend a lot of time asking Siri for a million answers for everything, but I tell you what, if you spent the same amount of time just asking and seeking and looking at the world and asking the question all the time, God, what do you want me to see? What do I need to do with this? What should I understand? And the next person that I meet, whether I'm shopping or at school or at uni or the person who's driving me crazy, what is your word to me so that heaven, that has no cancer, that has no brokenness, that has no flags, is able to reveal in my mind and my action, this is what I should do. This is my chance to be like Jesus in the street. Heaven touching earth. Earth touching heaven. And what I love when I look out, as imperfect and as mixed as we are, the Lord has chosen you. Let's pray. Lord God, I really want to thank you for the everyone that's here and the others at State Youth Games and the others elsewhere, whatever it is on this long weekend. Lord, the world, as we look at it, there is a lot of things that can terrify us every day. Things that are out of control. Russia at the moment boasting about how many nuclear weapons they've got. The US realising, oh, we don't have enough. Maybe we should start producing more. Lord, we live in a really stupid, stupid, crazy place. Help us to get such a sense of heaven and what you would want us to do and believe and act and do, Lord, in such a way that reveals your heart to us. And we know that in the end, it's your communication with us and our communication with you through the power and the wonder and the majesty of the Holy Spirit, through the wonder of Jesus and through your great love that we find ourselves repositioned over and over again to be of use, to be people of hope, to be people who bring good news and not mean-spirited news. So, Lord, challenge us where we need to confess. Rebuild us where we've lost the plot. Lord, the world is too precious for us to be asleep. There is too much going on to just be overwhelmed by power bills or something else. Lord, help us to be the gathered people as you gathered people to pray for Peter. Let us gather to pray for those who are still in all kinds of prisons today. Those in domestic violence, those in punishing countries, those in punishing regimes. We pray, Lord, for your will and your way to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.